The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the Speaking Out for the Blind program. It features the Seeing Eye program. Sand Prints has up for February 1st. Worlds of Books will meet February 18th. Fantasy Book Club meets February 26th. Eyes on Success features the Astrios. They have two articles about the Knut 360 Braille Reader from the web. There is a new artificial retina implant out. I don't think that's FDA approved yet. I'll be reading that from the web. The NFB convention will be coming up in mid-July. And if I have time left, I will talk about the TARC-3 strike in Louisville, Kentucky, that is affecting all of the people who need disability transportation in that area. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. Speaking Out for the Blind featured The Seeing Eye, Wednesday, February 5th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. It replays throughout the next 7 days on www.acbradio.org/mainstream. See that website for days and times. The Seeing Eye President and Chief Executive Officer Glenn Hoagland, H-O-A-G-L-A-N-D, and Advocacy Specialist and former Seeing Eye student Melissa Allman, join us to talk about this special guide dog school and answer your questions about guide dogs. To listen to this week's Speaking Out for the Blind, go to http://acbradio.org/mainstream and choose one of the links under the headings Listen to ACB Radio Mainstream and Now Playing, or call 1-641-793-0756 and when prompted press 1 for ACB Radio Mainstream. You may also listen to the program live on the ACB Link mobile app. For more information, go to http://link.acb.org. Show archive page is at acbradio.org/speaking-out-for-the-blind. Please note that there is a link located at the top half of the page and below the heading that says Home, Speaking Out for the Blind, where you can subscribe to the podcast feed and listen to Speaking Out for the Blind shows ranging from episode 94 to the present. The latest Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast is now online. Starting Your Own Business, sneak peek at tours planned for the 2020 ACB Conference and Convention. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints Audio Magazine podcast at withtheextension.xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints Audio Magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind, phone 502-895-4598, or email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. Worlds of Books discussion group meets the third Tuesday of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern. Worlds of Books will meet at 9 p.m. Eastern on 2/18/20 to discuss The Murder List, DB 96928, by Hank Philippi Ryan. The NLS annotation follows. The Murder List, DB 96928, Ryan, Hank Philippi. Reading time 11 hours, 15 minutes. Read by Angela Daw. A production of the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, Library of Congress. Subject, suspense fiction. Description, law student Rachel North knows that she is smart, hardworking, and has a devoted husband, and her internship with the Boston DA's office is her ticket to a successful future. Problem is, she's wrong. And in this cat-and-mouse game, the battle for justice becomes a battle for survival. Unrated. Commercial audiobook. Copyright 2019. You can find this book on Bookshare at the following website. https://www.bookshare.org/browse/book/283462? Return path equals LN, IY, X, J, a, D, 9TB, number 2, capital R, 1, B, capital G, capital V, capital O, capital Y, capital W, 1, capital I, capital P, capital X, capital B, 1, capital Y, M, X, P, capital Y, capital Z, R, capital Z, capital X, capital I, 3, B, 3, capital J, K, capital P, capital X, capital R, O, capital Z, capital S, capital B, T, D, capital X, capital J, K, capital Z, capital X, capital I, G, B, capital G, capital I, Z, D, capital A. About 10 minutes before the meeting time above, execute the below Zoom link invitation on the device of your choice or dial in with a telephone to one of the provided numbers. All are welcome. The World of Books discussion group meets third Tuesday of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, or Android at https://zoom.us/s/286200556. The iPhone telephone numbers in the U.S. are +1-646-876-9923 or 1-408-638-0986. The meeting ID is 286200556. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/CNN(U)(J)(Z)1OH. If you execute the above link from a computer with installed Zoom client software, the software should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you execute the above link from a smart device containing the Zoom Cloud Meetings app, the app should automatically launch and take you to the meeting. If you prefer to use your iPhone as a regular phone without the app to call into the meeting, you can double tap on one of the above two numbers to initiate the call. Those wishing to subscribe to past Worlds of Books program archives can do so using their mobile device and podcast app of their choice or using their computers and podcatcher program of choice. The link with which to subscribe follows http://accessibleworld.org/taxonomy/term/18/all/feed. If you wish to subscribe to our one-way announce list, please write to aw-announcements+subscribe@groups.io. You will receive a confirmation email. Just reply to it without writing anything. If you wish to subscribe to the Tech Talk discussion list, tech-talk-discussion+subscribe@groups.io. The same thing. You will receive a confirmation email. Just reply to it without writing anything, and you are on the list. The Fantasy Book Club will be held on the fourth Wednesday of this month, Wednesday, February 26, 2020. We will continue the new format of having everybody read a new book and discuss their book choice with the group, as well as talking about a book they've previously read. We will be using the Zoom platform. The relevant info is https://zoom.us/j/561112974. The iPhone telephone numbers are the same as before. Use the meeting ID 561-112-974. International numbers available at https://zoom.us/u/. I don't have the numbers at that extension. Julia Kulak, group facilitator, email julia.kulak@gmail.com. Last week's episode of Eyes on Success is https://www.eyesonsuccess.net/EOS_2006_podcast.mp3. The 2006, I'm sorry, that's 2006, Astrios Stargazing app, aired February 5th, 2020. Show notes, just because one has limited vision doesn't mean that one can't enjoy investigating the heavenly bodies in the universe around us. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy talk with Yuma Antoine Decaux and Jake Dean from Osiris about the accessible Astrios Stargazing app they are developing to open up new vistas for both amateurs and professionals. I will spell that alphabet soup. Yuma, Y-U-M-A, Antoine, A-N-T-O-I-N-E, Dekau, D-E-C-A-U-X, Jake Dean, J-A-K-E, D-E-A-N, Osiris, capital O, capital S, E-Y-E-R-I-S, about the accessible Astreos, A-S-T-R-E-O-S, stargazing app. As usual, the audio show notes and much more can be found at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And the podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. You can now listen on your Amazon or Google smart home device by simply saying, play Eyes on Success podcast. Enjoy. Check out Eyes on Success, formerly Viewpoints, a weekly half-hour audio program for people living with vision loss. Find out more about the show and get links to past episodes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. From the National Federation of the Blind, live the life you want. National Federation of the Blind 2020 Scholarship Program for blind high school seniors through grad school students. Program begins November 1, 2019, deadline midnight, March 31, 2020. $12,000 scholarship. The Kenneth Jernigan Scholarship and one scholarship for $10,000, two scholarships for $8,000 each, four scholarships for $5,000 each, 22 scholarships for $3,000 each, plus other gifts to our 30 scholarship finalists. Are you a legally blind high school or senior or college student? Go to www.nfb.org/scholarships. To apply. During the 5-month open period, read the rules and the submission checklist. Complete the official 2020 scholarship application form, online or in print. Supply all the required documents and request and complete an interview by an NFB affiliate president. Read the Frequently Asked Questions FAQ page for more information. Questions? Contact the NFB Scholarship Program. Chairperson Kate Mendez, CAYTE MENDEZ. Email scholarships at nfb.org. Office phone numbers 410-659-9314, extension 2415, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The National Federation of the Blind Bell Academy, Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning, Music, Movement, and Mathematics. The National Federation of the Blind's Braille Enrichment Literacy and Learning, BELL, Academy helps blind and low-vision children develop the literacy and independent living skills that will empower them to achieve their academic goals and live lives they want. This year, through our partnership with Wells Fargo, BELL will encourage our students to cultivate their knowledge of music, engage in physical activity, interact with their communities, and exceed their expectations of their arithmetic abilities by not only raising expectations through Braille instruction, but by fostering their growth in music, movement, and mathematics. To learn more about the NFB Bell Academy, visit https://nfb.org/bell-academy. The NFB of Nevada will host an NFB Bell Academy program at Angela's House, located in the RTC Mobility Training Center, 5165 West Sunset Road, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89118, from July 27th through August 1st, 2020, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The cost per participant is $100. Participants must be 6 to 12 years old. Early drop-off and late pickup 1 hour before or after the scheduled program time is available for $20 a day. To learn more about the NFB of Nevada Bell Academy, visit https://nfb.org/bell-academy or contact the Nevada Bell Academy coordinator, Sky Dunfield, SKYEDUNFIELD, at SKYEDUNFIELD@gmail.com. From atguys.com, Canute 360 Braille Multi-Line E-Reader. AT Guys, your access technology experts. We are now taking pre-orders for the Canute and plan to ship in the next couple of weeks. Payment plans with no interest for 6 months are available through PayPal. Payments with credit approval. Please write us for more details. Electronic Braille Reimagined. Bristol Braille Technology has released Canute 360, the world's first multi-line digital Braille e-reader. Developed by, with, and for the blind community, Canute 360 makes reading digital Braille books affordable, practical, and enjoyable. Canute 360 is a standalone desktop multi-line Braille e-reader, compatible with all 6-dot Braille codes, ideal for books, math, music, tables, or charts. In fact, a Braille library can now be stored on a single USB stick or SD card in BRF or PEF format and read from Canute 360 using Canute 360. Canute 360 can open and display star.brf and star.pef files. As Canute 360 does not feature onboard Braille translation, it is compatible out of the box with all 6-dot Braille codes. Braille files compatible with Canute 360 can either be downloaded from online accessible library services or translated from print source documents using software. For best results, format your files with a line length of 40 characters per line and a page length of 9 lines per page. Many Braille translation tools already include a Canute 360 preset to ensure content is correctly formatted for Canute 360. To load files onto Canute 360, copy your files onto a standard SD card or USB memory stick. When you insert the SD card or USB into Canute 360, your files will appear on the library menu. Canute 360 features an intuitive bookmarking system. You can add, remove, and navigate bookmarks from the main menu. Features: reads BRF Braille Ready files and PEF Portable Embosser file. 360 cells, 9 lines of 40 characters of Braille. Supports all 6-dot Braille codes, including music, maths, and all languages. And tactile graphics. 3-page navigation buttons, 9-line select keys, contextual help button. Frequently asked questions. Can Canute 360 open .doc/.pdf/.epub/.txt/.htm files? Answer: Canute 360 can only open .brf and .pef Braille files. Print source files can be converted to a format compatible with Canute 360 using software. Both free and paid-for Braille translation packages are available. Is Canute 360 compatible with screen reader software Braille output? Answer: Canute 360 is not currently compatible with screen reader software Braille output. This is a feature that we are actively looking into adding in future. However, we are not currently able to give a timetable for development of these features. Specifications: dimensions 37 centimeters by 19 centimeters by 4 centimeters, 14.5 inches by 7.5 inches by 1.5 inches. 2.8 kilograms, 6 pounds. Connectivity: 2x USB-A, 1x USB-A HDMI out, SD card slot, 3.55 millimeter audio out. Audio demo: there's a hot link to listen to an audio demo of the Canute multi-line e-reader, and there is a hot link for documentation for the user's manual. Here's an interview on the Canute 9-line by 40-cell Braille reader with a user from IC, using various technologies from a blind person's perspective, at podcasts.google.com. Chat and demo. Hi, Eden, and welcome to the podcast to talk and demo the Canute. E: thanks, David. The Canute is basically a 9-line by 40-cell Braille reader. It has very crisp Braille. D: have you ever felt the Orbit Reader 20 Braille? E: yes, this Braille is better. D: how big is the actual unit? 9 lines of Braille sounds quite large. E: a bit wider than a Braille book, depth almost like a cassette player, and is an inch or so high. The Braille lines are spaced a bit further apart, like on a Braille page, but not too much. You can get used to it. I was concerned about the refresh rate for the 9 lines, which takes about 10 seconds, but I am quite used to this now. D: what are the controls on the unit? E: so, a bit of description. On the front of the unit, there are 3 buttons from left to right. They are back, menu, and forward, with their associated labels on the top face of the unit in Braille. On the right-hand side, the power cord is right next to the power button on the left. And if you are not careful when you pick up the unit with the cord attached, you can bump the power button. The left-hand side has an HDMI port to view content on a screen, headphone jack, not yet used, full-sized SD card slot where you put your SD card with your books. Above this is two USB ports for using USB sticks. You still need the SD card if you want bookmarks. And a USB-B port, not yet functional. On the top of the unit, on the top left-hand side, is the Help Context menu, and below this you have 9 buttons labeled 1 to 9, shaped as a triangle, and then a 0 button, shaped as a square. These buttons are used for bookmarking and in the menu. When you turn the unit on, it can take up to 50 seconds for it to start up. At one stage, everything goes quiet, and you think there's something wrong, but then the Braille page you've been working on appears. It does not have any onboard translation. It reads both BRF and PEF files. Works with various Braille translation software produced files. D. So does that mean you could download any BRF book and have the unit read it? E. Absolutely, yes. I got it mainly for Braille music. I was thinking about using it for general reading, but I'm concerned on how noisy the Braille display actually is and annoying people around me. Another point, it weighs 6 to 7 pounds, so it is quite heavy. Then again, it feels extremely well made. Besides the noise of the Braille displays, I'm still concerned about bumping the power button when I don't mean to. D. So what do you actually get in the box beside the actual unit? E. You get a power cord, although I got two, as I think the other one is for Europe. You get a quick start page in Braille and in print. However, the full manual is online, and it is only 4 pages. It is a very simple device. It does what it's designed to do. D. When you turn the unit on, how much help does the help button give you? E. The help button is for contextual help depending on what you're doing, and is quite useful. I found I didn't need to use it at all as the unit is so easy to use. D. You mentioned the menu button. Besides accessing bookmarks, what else can you do in the menu? E. You can go, as you say, you can go to bookmarks, the system menu, go to the page number. Each bookmark gives you a line of Braille where the bookmark was set. I'm assuming, as since you cannot edit, there's no auto cursoring buttons above each of the actual Braille cells. E. No, the unit is for reading only. The developer has said they will be working with NVDA and Google to see if they can get some drivers developed, but I honestly don't know how this would work out. I can't imagine using the unit for fast navigation with a screen reader. I think people need to accept the unit for what it is, a multi-line Braille reader. D. I'm assuming that when you are reading, you're moving backward or forward 9 lines at a time. E. Yes. One thing I wish they could add would be for you to just go forward or back perhaps 1 line to get the rest of the line you were reading and didn't fit within the 9 lines being displayed. I'm still impressed by the refresh rate, quality of Braille, build quality of the unit, and the fact that there were no promises made beyond what the unit was designed to do. Read a Braille file. D. So let's say you're reading Harry Potter. Can you move to the beginning of the book or skip through the book? E. Yes, you can jump to the beginning, but this is where bookmarks become so important, as they are your navigation markers for the book. D. Okay, so do we want to do the crash test as to where and as it were and turn the unit on? E. Yes, when you first turn it on, it displays "please wait" on the first line, makes quite a bit of noise, clears any previously displayed Braille, goes quiet as far as the display is concerned, and then finally shows the document. In this case, what I was working on last. Takes up to 50 seconds, but I found this time can vary. Now I'm on my document with very crisp Braille. So if I was a new user, what would pressing the help button give me? It shows you in Braille contextual help of what you can do, as at this point I'm in my document, and it explains how to navigate. If I press the help button again, I return to my document being displayed on the unit with all lines being refreshed. So how long does it take to change between the current 9 lines and the next 9 lines? Let's try it. It takes about 9 or so seconds with each line making a noise as it pops up with the Braille. So that clicking sound I was hearing was each line popping up? Yes. I find putting the unit on something soft tends to deaden the sound a bit. Did it take a while not reaching for the panning button on a single line Braille display since you could read 9 lines? No, I've always disliked panning on single-line braille displays. With my Cue Braille, I can use auto-scroll, but sometimes you want to be reading at your own pace, and this allows you to do that. Is it battery-operated? Sadly, no. Having a battery inside would add more weight, and I don't think it is the sort of thing you drop in your bag and flick out at a moment's notice again, due to size and weight. I think we are a bit spoiled with all the portable solutions we currently have on the market. I'm going to stop reading this because I have more to give you on other topics. From ScienceAlert.com, scientists have created an artificial retina implant that could restore vision to millions. Scientists have developed a retinal implant that can restore lost vision in rats, and are planning to trial the procedure in humans later this year. The implant, which converts light to an electrical signal that stimulates retinal neurons, could give hope to millions who experience retinal degeneration, including retinitis pigmentosa, in which photoreceptor cells in the eye begin to break down, leading to blindness. Because retinal nerves remain intact and functional, previous research has looked at treating retinitis pigmentosa with bionic eye devices that stimulate the neurons with lights, while other scientists have investigated using CRISPR gene editing to repair the mutations that cause blindness. Now, a team led by the Italian Institute of Technology has developed a new approach, with a prosthesis implanted into the eye that serves as a working replacement for a damaged retina. The implant is made from a thin layer of conductive polymer placed on a silk-based substrate and covered with a semiconducting polymer. The semiconducting polymer acts as a photovoltaic material, absorbing photons when light enters the lens of the eye. When this happens, electricity stimulates retinal neurons, filling in the gap left by the eye's natural but damaged photoreceptors. To test the device, the researchers have implanted the artificial retina into the eyes of rats bred to develop a rodent model of retinal degeneration called Royal College of Surgeons RCS rats. After the rats had healed from the operation 30 days later, the researchers tested how sensitive they were to light, called the pupillary reflex, compared to healthy rats and untreated RCS rats. At the low intensity of 1 lux, a bit brighter than the light from a full moon, the treated rats weren't much more responsive than untreated RCS rats. But as the light increased to around 4 to 5 lux, about the same as a dark twilight sky, the pupillary response of treated rats was largely indistinguishable from healthy animals. When they retested the rats at 6 and 10 months after surgery, the implant was still effective in the rats, although all the rats in the tests, including the treated rats, healthy animals, and RCS controls, had suffered minor vision impairment due to being older. Using positron emission tomography, PET, to monitor the rat's brain activity during the light sensitivity tests, the researchers saw an increase in the activity of the primary visual cortex, which processes visual information. Based on these results, the team concludes that the implant directly activates residual neuronal circuitries in the degenerate retina. But further research will be required to explain exactly how the stimulation works on a biological level. The findings are reported in Nature Materials. We've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time, please call 919-832-5138 with comments and questions about the show.